with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KempersisRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, July the 12th. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the famous Joe Dodds.
Hello.
Hello,
maybe
Joe.
I don't sound very loud to myself. Maybe
you don't sound very loud, do you? No. Get a bit nearer the mic and I'll turn you up a bit.
Is it not this one? Oh, is it you that does? Oh, there you go. That's much better.
Yeah, that's better, isn't it?
There you go. I can hear myself now.
Absolutely.
It's lovely to be back, apart from it's a bit flipping cold.
Well, I'm sorry about that. We got a nicely chilled studio.
Nicely chilled, for which read, flipping freezing.
Yeah, but it's good. But if you think about it, Joe, this time last year in Dimchurch, we would all have been sat here in micro speedos in a little puddle of perspiration.
Exactly.
But or
you
something.
Didn't, you didn't tell our lovely guests, and they came along thinking that very thing. So they're a bit cold at the moment.
Absolutely, but I'm going to get branded Business Bunker vests.
I think we'll need fleeces and
alpaca vests. I'm going to get for everyone to wear. Yeah.
Lovely.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, that's a good plan, definitely.
Good stuff. So how are you anyway?
I'm good, yeah, I'm good. I had a bit of a trauma this morning, though.
Oh, really?
Do you know what? I was driving through Folkestone, and I was just putting my podcast on, as I was doing it, I was sort of going along, saw there was a massive puddle, and at the last minute, it suddenly dawned on me that massive puddle, you know, splash of water and everything else.
Right, okay.
And at that same moment, I saw a woman who tiptoed through this massive puddle, like her feet were really wet, just getting into her car. And I didn't slow down or swerve quickly enough.
You soaked her, didn't you?
I don't know. I didn't see.
Horror.
I looked back afterwards and the door was closed and I just hoped she got in time. But oh my goodness, I drove home thinking, oh, that was awful. I really need to go back and tell her that I didn't mean to do it on purpose and I didn't see it till the last minute.
It'll be all right. It'll be on Twitter by now.
I know.
It'll be a picture of your car with your registration number going, does anybody know who this really, really horrible woman was that soaked me from head to foot this morning?
I know. It happened to me once, so I know how awful it can be. I was drenched at the time. It had rained a lot, so I wasn't bothered. But I'm sure she will have been, because it would probably gone in the car as well.
Absolutely.
Anyway, it traumatised me.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, I hope you've recovered from it now.
I have. Maybe she's still wet. But
cool. As always, we've got a great lineup of guests for you today on the Business Bunker Show. But of course, we want to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. And today's show sponsor is a big, big thank you to the lovely folks at Fruitworks, the community workspace over there in Canterbury. Big thank you for sponsoring today's show. We do appreciate it. But we'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. Currently, you can't call us on the telling bone because our number hasn't been authorised yet. But it will be soon, and you can call us in soon. But for the moment, you can get in touch with us in all the other normal ways. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, or you can tweet me, and tweeting me is by far and away the easiest way, and you can tweet me at VanillaWeb, and if you would kindly use the hashtag BeBunker, that would be so kind of you. Thank you so much. Thank you. So, Joe, I think we'll kick off with an email. What do you reckon?
Yep, sounds like a good plan.
Good.
We have the Kent Invicta Chamber After Hours Networking, which is 6 till 7.30 on various dates in various places. So what day is it today? 12th.
It's the 12th.
So today, tonight, it's at the Hythe Imperial at the Hythe Imperial Hotel in Hythe. There's a good start.
And not the Hotel Imperial in Hythe?
No, the Hythe, any of those combinations.
The Hythe Hotel Imperial.
The big hotel on the seafront, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sort of grey one for anyone.
You should know that. You live next door to it.
That's why it went all wrong. So tomorrow night, it's at the Royal Wells Hotel in Tunbridge Wells. See, they just call themselves by the same words in the
It's just
place. It's really
hotel and it's just confusing,
isn't it? It is. Right, here's a better one. So Tuesday the 19th of July at St. George Hotel in Chatham. There you go.
Oh, that's easy.
Far less confusing.
Yeah.
And Tuesday the 26th of July is at the Mercure Maidstone Great Danes Hotel in Maidstone. And the 27th of July is at Canterbury College in Canterbury.
It's amazing that, isn't it?
Isn't that
weird how it just works out that the Maidstone Hotel's in Maidstone and Canterbury College.
You'd have thought
they'd have planned that or something, wouldn't you?
I know,
it's that spooky.
I think they should be more innovative in this day and age and come up with something entirely different so you don't know where they are.
Canterbury College in Medway or, you know.
Yes, exactly. It'd be great for their marketing. So it's after hours networking. It's 6 till 7.30 for any of those that I won't repeat.
Yeah, you don't have to be a member to go along to those either. You can just rock up and have some fun and join in.
Do you remember last time I couldn't go to any of the things that I talked about? And I can't go to that one tonight in Hythe either, even though they've all been in my diary this year. One day I'll be there. One day.
There's a rumour going around that you never go to anything.
That's pretty much true, actually. I'm a bit of a hermit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Always too busy doing something else.
Exactly.
We're not entirely sure what it is that you're doing, but we never see you at the networking meetings.
No, but I did used to.
Well, you came to Fruitworks Create once. I remember seeing you there.
More than once, I'll have you know. I will be back. I'm after the summer, I will get back out and about.
Well, just for you, Jo, here's another event not to go to, okay?
Go on then.
Yeah, so I've had a tweet from the lovely Jane Ollis, and Jane is the new chair of the Institute of Directors, Kent Branch.
Lovely.
And Jane has said, hello, Paul, could I have a shout-out, please, on the Business Bunker Show for the IOD Kent Branch event on July the 21st, where there's going to be some important funding news. Now, it's a shortened link, so I'm not sure if I can grab the link properly, but let me have a go at it. And it's an event that's happening, and it's happening on the 21st, and it's a director's briefing, and it's entitled, Are You an Ambitious Kent Entrepreneur? And it's taking place, where is it taking place? I think it's taking place at... it says Simon Wheel Avenue. I think what you're going to have to do is follow them. And what you need to do is follow the Kent IOD, IOD Kent underscore branch is their Twitter handle. So if you follow them, it does say it's £30 if you're a non-member to go to the event. But I happen to know that the lovely Leslie Bennett, who organises IOD events, has a special rate for listeners of the Business Bunker, which is only £10, but you need to book it through Leslie. So if you follow IOD Kent underscore branch, you can find out all about the event on July the 21st. And it is a really, really interesting event. There's a lot of announcements to be made about business funding and business ambassadors from the IOD. So do try and get along. That's at 5:30 in the evening on July the 21st. So do check that out. We've had a tweet from Denise Wilton. I know you're not the community show, she said, but Thursday's too late, so can I have a Business Bunker shout-out? Of course you can, Niece.
You mean we're second choice?
Yeah, yeah. Well, sure obviously, we're down market, but, you know, needs must.
Okay.
Can we have a shout-out for the Duncan Rand Festival this week? It's a one-act play. It's a one-act play competition, and it's on all week, and it's called White Lies, and it's on Wednesday the 13th, that's tomorrow, and she says it's very, very funny. And you can book it by going to... I hate these shortened links. It's wix.com/UGD. But again, the easiest thing to do is to follow Denise on Twitter, and then you can find the link yourself. And Denise's Twitter handle is Denise, spelled DenezWilton, Denise Wilton. And she changed her Twitter handle to say Denise because I couldn't say her name properly.
Oh, I love it.
So she frenetically changed it so
really
I could get it right.
It's really not that important, really. Yeah. Seriously, Denise. Uh-huh. So the other thing they can do, of course, is to follow the hashtag BeBunker.
Yeah.
Is it on there?
It will be on there as well, too.
Yep. Hashtag with that. So if people hashtag with that,
then they'll find it also.
The links out, that would be the easiest way of finding all of these links, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because people put the links in for us, but then of course Twitter shortens them all, so you can't read them.
Exactly.
Yeah, so yes, I hadn't thought about that, Joe. That's quite right. Follow the hashtag. And we've got a tweet from Cars from Kent, and they say, yes, please, Vanilla Web, can we have a Business Bunker shout out to buy or sell your car locally? carsfromkent.com.
We've got a first-time listener here, Ken Timms. He says it's the first time he's tuned in, and if any listeners need help with auto-enrolment, and he also used a hashtag auto-enrolment. That would be a very interesting thread to follow.
It will. There'll be quite a bit on that, I would have thought.
If you're interested in auto-enrolment.
And what was the Twitter handle of that?
That was Ken Timms, TYMMS.
Okay. Hi, Ken. Thanks for listening in. Good to have a new listener now and again.
I thought his name was Kenty, Kenty MMS, but it's not.
It's Ken Timms, not Kenty.
Oh, did I tell you about Little Dodsey?
Oh, right.
Can I tell you? She reads the intros on my podcast,
yeah.
And she was reading out one when I wasn't there, and she read out a URL, and it should have been Letters from a Small Island, and she read Letters from a smallisland.com.
Oh, yeah.
Just shows you.
but there is a whole book and Twitter feed about funny URL names.
Really?
Yeah.
I can imagine some of them are a bit rude, aren't they?
Yes, most of them are incredibly rude.
Yes.
But it shows you know, it's the whole thing with branding these days, isn't it, that you have to think about
that. You have to, don't you? I think I might have told that story before, so I apologise if anyone's listening and have heard it, but it might have been on the other show. I get confused bored, now. Bored, I have bored. To sit on different sides of the table depending on which show I'm on.
Well, see, what we've done, Joe, just for you, is we've colour-coded the microphones.
I know, and my branded one I'm not actually sitting at.
Exactly. So your Friday one is red, your Tuesday one is green.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, I still got it wrong.
It's a bit like, what's his face? Was it Sesame Street or something?
Was it?
Was it Sesame Street? I can't remember.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, this week you're behind a green window.
Oh, no, and Play School.
Play School, that was a chap.
I preferred the arch window, personally.
Did you?
Just to be clear, in case anyone needs to know.
Good. Well, I'm glad we've cleared that up. So we're home and dry now. I've had a tweet from the lovely Deborah Turner, who is known as You Image Consult on the Twitter. And she says, Vanilla Web, please can we have a shout out for a Women in Business brunch in August. It's the FSB Kent and Medway in association with Base Point Dartford is pleased to invite you to a bi-monthly networking event for women in business. And again, the easiest thing to do is Deborah hasn't used the hashtag, so you'll have to follow Deborah UYOU Image Consult is her Twitter handle and find out about it. Or you can go to the Kent Business Radio website to the FSB page where we have a list of the FSB events. Or you can log on to the FSB website itself and go to the Kent and Medway region and find out about all the events that are on there. So do check that out. Do you want to do another email?
Yeah, I've got another networking that I probably won't be going to. I definitely am not going to. It's this week. Curry and Beer Networking. It says, after last week's massive success, we're pleased to announce the next Curry and Beer Night will be on the 14th of July at the Raj Moni from 6:30. It's great seeing so many new faces as well as our usual brilliant attendees. So hopefully more people will be able to go. So it's at the Raj Moni in Plaistow Lane in Bromley, 6:30 on Thursday, I believe the 14th, and it's £20. And you can find out more by going to Cain and Beer, C-A-I-N. That's a very biblical one, isn't it? CainandBeer.com/curry-and-beer.
Absolutely. I remember the Cain bit. I don't know where the beer bit came
in. It wasn't Cain and Beer, was it?
Yeah. Kent Invicta Chamber have a workshop, the Introduction to Pay-Per-Click Advertising, and it's taking place between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. and it includes lunch, and it's £150 for members and it's £295 for non-members. If you have a website for your business, then you really should be making it work for you. And by work, we mean bringing new customers. You can learn tricks from the experts to help maximize the potential of your online presence without the overheads of using an agency. And the next one is taking place on Thursday, the 21st of July, and it's at Sleeping Giant Media in Folkestone. So that's an Introduction to Pay-Per-Click on the 21st of July. And there's also an Introduction to Search Engine Optimization between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m., including lunch, the same price system. And during this course, we'll be running through the core elements of search engine optimization, which is the process of obtaining traffic from the organic search results on search engines. SEO results are the main aspect of the Google search engine results page and normally sit below the top paid listings. This one's taking place this Thursday, the 14th of July, and again, it's at Sleeping Giant Media. You can find out about all of those courses and more, and you can also book them by going to the Kent Invicta Chamber website, which is kentinvictachamber.co.uk.
Do you another one? Yeah. So this
we're
is
on a
report.
Roll.
We are. This is a report on something I actually went to. I went to the Leeds Castle Classical Concert on Saturday.
And that, hold on. That doesn't count. That wasn't a business event. That was a concert.
I did a bit of networking with Penny Williams.
Did you? You didn't. All you said was, you couldn't get me in to see Alan Jones, could you?
Oh, I have a lovely picture of her with Alan Jones, actually.
I know.
So it was on Saturday, and Alan Jones was the compere, or whatever they called him, MC or whatever, as you said. It was opened by winners of the Top Choir Kent competition, the Kentones, followed by the P&O Ferries Choir, who came back for a second year. The Definitive Rat Pack were there, and their nine-piece band, the Gold Diggers, their glamorous backing vocalists. I didn't even know that, and I was there. And then it was the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, and they played amazingly as ever, and it went really quick this year. I thought they needed to do at least another 3 hours at the end of it. And then they have the Spitfire Fly Past, performing to the Spitfire Prelude and the Dambusters March, and it was an amazing sunset, so I've got some great pictures of that too.
Fantastic.
And then all the stuff at the end, which Little Dodsy particularly likes, Land of Hope and Glory and Jerusalem and
all the flashing lights,
flag waving and everything else. So tickets for next year's classical concert which will be on Saturday the 8th of July. We'll go on general sale on the 1st of September for seated and picnic style, and hospitality and catering packages will go on sale later in 2016. So you need to go and buy your tickets early so that you don't miss out. And I would thoroughly recommend it. We've been, I think, the last 4 years, and it's just so nice. Even if it rains. It rained a couple of years ago, and we just sat there under our brollies being British.
Absolutely. I haven't been for a couple of years. I used to go regularly every year, and I haven't been for a couple of years.
And I could say, sorry, just to interrupt, the reason a lot of people don't go, my mother-in-law came this year for the first time in ages, and she wouldn't go because she was worried about getting stuck in traffic at the end of the night, which has happened, you know, on previous occasions when she's been to see other shows and things. And seriously, in 4 years, we've just virtually driven straight out. It's been so well managed.
Well,
it's really good.
Because they stopped it for a while, didn't they? Because of the traffic mayhem.
Oh, did they?
They abandoned it for at least 1 year. And it wasn't allowed to be on because of the absolute traffic mayhem. And I think what they did is they restricted the numbers and they moved the car parking around and stuff. Because it's you're really absolutely well right. Done. The last couple of years, I've not seen any particular problems with it. But many years ago, it used to be an absolute nightmare. It would be a week before you got home.
Yeah. You're exaggerating again.
I used to own a motorhome. When I had the racing team, and we actually took a motorhome there 1 year because it was easier to sleep overnight. We just slept there overnight because you wouldn't have got out.
But that
really has changed
now.
In recent
years. It's not a problem at all. So I'd thoroughly recommend it.
Yeah. I'm going to read this because I'm in one of those moods, but I've just had a tweet, someone moaning that I missed an apostrophe in one of my tweets. And just to be pedantic, he didn't start his tweet with a capital letter, so...
Oh, well, there you go. children!
But you can't be a grammar Nazi on Twitter, can you? Because you've got 140 characters, so the first thing to go are full stops, commas, and apostrophes, because they're superfluous, because you can still read the gist of the message without those.
Well, sort of. Occasionally an apostrophe, and a possessive apostrophe might actually cause an issue if you haven't quite got it in the right place or not at all. But, you know, let's not go there. Let's
don't
move on,
be
Paul.
A pedant. Not on
proud
Twitter.
Of being a pedant.
Twitter doesn't do it. You can't be a pedant on Twitter.
No,
you really
true.
Can't.
That's true.
Red Sales Faversham have tweeted, said, how do your listeners unwind? Our Sunday brunch club may be ideal. And then they've given me a picture of all the details about their Sunday brunch club, which I can't read because I haven't got my glasses on.
Oh, I have it here. Who did you say? Oh, no, that's Faversham Hotel. They sent something as well. Hang on, I've seen
it. Yeah, no, that's their Twitter handle, Faversham Hotel.
Oh, there
you
go. I knew I'd seen it then. So do you want me to tell you?
Go on, because I can't read it.
Of poached egg on muffin with bacon, I think.
I can see that, and it's distracting me. I can see the poached egg on muffin, and it kept taking my eyes away from the detail.
So the blooming British brunch or leisurely lunch menus are available every Sunday in the Red Sails restaurant at the Faversham Creek Hotel, as well as a wealth of creative brunch dishes. Traditional roast and selected a la carte dishes are also on the menu from 11 till 4, giving diners their preferred choice. And there's even an option of a liquid brunch. I'm not quite sure what that is. It tells you, hang on, or lunch for £25 per person when one brunch or one lunch item with a BBB logo is selected, which includes unlimited Bucks Fizz, Bloody Marys or Mighty Fine brunch cocktails and tea or coffee while eating. And there's also a non-alcoholic choice as well. Do you know, this sounds like... sounds worth a try, doesn't it?
Well, I thought you were going to say something else, because I'll tell you what that sounds like to me.
What?
That sounds like something that would be organised by one Jules Serkin.
That
sounds like to me.
You're right.
Like a Prosecco fest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. You're absolutely right. It looks very lovely. And hotel owner David Selves says, working with Chef Roger Heathcote and his young team, we're delighted to introduce our new Sunday Blooming British Brunch concept, reflecting our philosophy of offering innovation and choice at value for money pricing levels. There you go, Chris Pollard. I've got my teeth back in.
Fantastic. Hey, do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
I'm going to play some cheesy tunage. This is in homage to our next guest that's coming up fairly soon, right after this. So have a listen to this.
Man. Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Do you need suppliers you can trust for your Kent business? Get a quote today at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk. And it's Tuesday the 12th of July with me, Paul Andrews, and the famous Joe Dodds.
Yep.
There was a bit of George. George is on later. There was a bit of George, yeah. Just for Chris.
It does take me back to my youth.
Does it?
My youth.
Were you born then, Joe?
No, clearly not. No,
you told me you weren't born there.
I know, I should have calculated that out.
I'm not entirely sure when it came out, actually.
1980
something.
Two or three?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I think you're about right.
So, yeah, I was, and it was one of my songs.
Was it? You don't look that old.
When I was three, no.
Yeah. Cool. I think we'll do another couple of emails and then we'll talk to our first guest. What do you reckon? Does that sound like
sounds
a plan?
Like a good plan. Okay, yeah. So I'll talk about the Construction Expo in the South East. I'm not going to that one either, but it is about construction. Not really my thing.
What can you do with her? What can you do with her?
Sounds good though. Thursday the 6th of October at the Kent Event Centre in Maidstone. It's 8:30 to 4:30. The South East construction opportunities attract global interest and Construction Expo is at the heart of the region's industry. Attendances are increasing each year and 2015 saw nearly 3,000 visitors included, those from some of the very largest main contracting and house building firms. The event provides the perfect platform to build lasting business relationships. So to book an exhibition stand, you can go to kentconstructionexpo.co.uk/exhibitors-book-online, or to register for free tickets, kentconstructionexpo.co.uk/delegates-book-online. So that's the 6th of October.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Joe. Or you can just go to the Kent Business Radio website and click on the business events page, and there's a whole thing with all the links there. And at that event, you can also go, this is the Construction Expo, which is sponsored by Wilmot Dixon. There's actually an expo dinner. Okay, and you can book your place onto the Construction Expo dinner on the 6th of October at the Kent Event Centre at Detling, as you just said, and you can hear the guest speaker.
Don't tell me.
Why?
Who's the guest speaker?
Well, you're not going anyway.
No, exactly.
The guest speaker is one Giles Brandreth.
Oh, I thought it was going to be you. Oh,
No.
Oh, okay, in which case it might be slightly more interesting.
So you might go now. You might go now, it's not
possibly
me. Yeah, see, isn't that typical? Isn't that typical? She thought it was going to be me, just because I speak at everything else.
Exactly, I know, you can't turn around in Kent without you appearing.
Yeah, I know. And that's just in a car park or by a puddle.
Here's my stalker.
Yeah. Anyway, the guest speaker is actually Giles Brandreth, former MP, TV presenter and raconteur. The price for the dinner is £42 plus VAT per person, and you can have a table of 10 for £400. You need to book your tickets pretty soon because they're going to sell out pretty fast, even though the dinner's not actually until October the 6th. And you can do that by going to bookings at kentinvictorchamber.co.uk. Bookings at kentinvictorchamber.co.uk.
I think you'd be as good, though.
What?
To be honest, I think you'd be as good. You'd be as funny.
Oh, bound to be.
And,
bound
know,
to be.
Yeah,
bound
you know
to be.
All those letters and words things from that. Did he do Countdown? I can't remember.
He did Countdown.
Did that Countdown?
Yeah, he did do Countdown.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I think you'd be able to do all of that.
Would I?
Yeah. Have you got the jumpers, though?
I don't know. Does that mean I get to see Carol Vorderman? If I got to see Carol Vorderman, that would be all right.
Yeah, but she's probably not going to be at the Construction Expo, I wouldn't have thought.
Do you not think so?
No, maybe not.
Is it not in her calendar? You ought to be there, Carol. Anyway. So you,
she listens to the business podcast.
Yeah, of course she does, regularly. She tweets me about it all the time. What time are you on, Paul? I've forgotten. 1 o'clock, Carol. Be there. Yeah. Anyway, Giles Brandreth will be there, so book your tickets for the 6th of October. Do you know what? I think we're going to speak to somebody sensible for a change.
That's a good plan, I would suggest.
Don't you think that's a plan?
Yes.
It's about time we did something interesting.
Definitely.
And sensible.
Definitely.
And it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show, for the very first time, all the way from Hampshire, no less, Mr. Christopher Hyde, I've got to get this right, Chameleogenics.
Three. Well done. Thanks very much, Paul. It's really good to be here.
No, thank you so much for coming all the way over here to join us on the show. It's an absolute pleasure to see you, Chris. Chris has been a long-term listener of the Business Bunker Show and a participant.
All the way from Hampshire. So you're telling us that there are people outside of Kent listening to the radio show?
There are lots of people outside of Kent listening to the show.
I'll tell you something else as well. There's also listeners in Germany today.
Is there really?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Hello, Germany.
Hello, Munich.
Yeah. Guten Tag.
Yeah. Guten Tag.
Okay. Guten Tag.
I've got German O level. That's about all I can remember, though.
Guten Tag, München. Yeah, and
is that
all
where
that.
Where they're from? No, that's
Munich.
That's you. Yeah. Oh, I've been to Bavaria. I've been to Munich.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
is. It's recommended.
Lovely. I've been there quite a lot as well. December 5th. That's the time to go. St. Nicholas's Day. It's brilliant.
The market in Munich is brilliant.
Quick visit to Neuschwanstein Castle and all of that. Fantastic.
Well, I stayed in Ochsenfurt. Or Marktbright. That's the twin town of Wimborne. That's not far from you in Hampshire.
Wimborne.
I actually went to Oberammergau once as well, which is not an easy thing to do because it only happens on a very irregular basis. Well, it's regular. but it's just a long time
infrequent,
apart.
Infrequent.
Yeah, I think it's every 10 years or something, or something like that. And I actually went to one of them. But anyway, enough of that. And we'll find out why Chris has got listeners in Germany in a minute, no doubt. But Chris, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's an absolute pleasure. Why don't you tell the listener a little bit about you and a bit about your background? Because you've got a very interesting background and you've now got your own business.
Yeah. It's a long story. Once I was born. No, I won't start. I started off life as an air traffic control assistant in the RAF and then graduated and became an air traffic control officer.
Right.
Had 23 years in the RAF, saw the world, had a really, really great time, thoroughly enjoyed it, and decided at the end of my time I'm going to do something completely different.
Sure.
A lot of people go into the aviation business and I went elsewhere.
Okay. But sorry to drag you back into it, but you know, for a lot of people, and we were talking to Zoe, who's our next guest later on in the show, and we were talking about this earlier, a lot of people aren't actually very familiar with air traffic control and what it does and the kind of things. Just as it happens, many years ago I did a very short management consulting assignment both at high level air traffic control in Brussels and at West Drayton.
Is that a pun? Did you intend that pun? High level.
Oh, I see.
I let it go over.
That went over his head. This is top punning here, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. You needed some plain talking. Well, I can do puns about that all day long, don't you worry.
Should have started him off, should
yeah,
I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on, let's get down to earth.
Yeah. So you haven't
finished your sentence, I
interrupted. No, so I did some work with the high-level air traffic control, and Chris can tell us what high-level traffic control is in a minute. and then I did some work at West Drayton, which is the UK Airspace Air Traffic Control Centre, or it was then.
It used to be, yeah.
Yeah, it was then. It was a long time ago. So give us a little overview about the work of an air traffic controller, Chris.
Yeah, well, the first thing, just to put this complete myth to bed once and for all, on Kent Business Radio, this is the truth. We do not wave table tennis bats. it is not what we do. There's two or three main components. As you quite rightly said, you've got the high-level en-route centres, the one in the UK now based at Swanwick in Hampshire. And they look after predominantly the airliners, although there is a military contingent within there. And then at each airfield, you have what you call the terminal air traffic services, and they bring the aircraft in on radar around the airports. And then within the airports as well, you have the visual control rooms, and they're the guys who you see up in the glass towers.
Yep.
Generally, if you look on the media, they're the ones with the binoculars. And if you look at Top Gun, they're the guys spilling the coffee saying, negative, Ghost Rider, the pattern is full. Again, a complete untruth. And that's it in a nutshell. So it's a very procedural, process-driven environment.
Yeah.
Obviously, safety is number one and critical. Quality comes second. And in fact, it's safety and expedition, which is basically getting things safely to destination, but also in the most efficient way possible, which lends itself to my business nowadays.
Absolutely. I just want to finish off on that because it's a very important job. and you've got a lot of people's lives at stake, basically, up in the air, and therefore it can be quite a stressful job. The interesting thing I found in a very short time I spent wandering around a couple of the major air traffic control centres was how calm everybody is. There's not a lot of, you know, really getting upset. I mean, I'd be screaming at people, no, turn left, you idiot, turn left now, you idiot.
I'll be honest with you, there are moments where it gets a little bit twitchy, but it really comes down to training.
Yeah.
And it's the same in business. If your people are well-drilled and they know exactly what to do, then it becomes second nature and you deliver what you have to deliver at that time. You can cope with the unexpected. Mm. So it's about building your resilience within through the training and procedures that you've been practicing day in, day out.
Yeah.
And that gives you the capacity to cope with the unexpected.
Absolutely. Interestingly, we have a blog written by Chris that's on the Kent Business Radio website and has been for a couple of weeks now about the parallels between air traffic control and leadership and looking at some of those, for want of a better word, attributes that you have that are common to both things. So, having spent a lot of your career in the Royal Air Force and doing this, you come to the end of your commission or however you ended. How long were you in? 23 years?
23 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Man a boy.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you started as a baby. Yeah.
Bless you.
You left the forces and you decided to start your own business. So give us a feel about Chameleogenics and what the business is focused on and what you're looking to do with it, and also just tell us how long you've been going, really.
Well, Chameleogenics actually hasn't been going that long. I did a step between,
right.
As you'd imagine, leaving an organisation, doing a particular job for 23 years, coming out and doing something completely different. You need to relearn new skills, and develop the skills that you already had. So I actually did an amount of time in the NHS. I did an amount of time in with a consultancy company, and it got to the point where I thought, okay, I'm going to take these skills now and give it a shot myself. Right. And the main focus on Chameleogenics, our tagline is the art and science of change,
right.
Because change management, when anyone undertakes any change, and we spoke off air earlier about how the country is going through change, it can be a scary, scary time, whether you're a small organization with two or three people or whether you're a mighty corporate. Any change can be unsettling. And what we try and do at Chameleogenics is to reduce the stress by building a sound foundation for any change initiative. And that means your greatest asset in any organisation, whether you're a single-hander or whether you're working with thousands of people, your greatest asset are your people. And by understanding your people and how you can improve your productivity by giving somebody an hour back a day, if I give you back an hour of your life a day to do something with, that's an hour that you can reinvest in earning money, gaining a client, doing some marketing or whatever. And it's about looking at an end-to-end process within a business.
Yep.
So that's really the essence of Chameleogenics. It's working with the people in the organisation.
Absolutely. And you're talking about the importance of managing change. And we were having a discussion before we came on air about where we are as a country and as a society at the moment, smack bang at the start of one of the most massive changes that the country's gone through in the last 50 years, and how a lot of people are reacting to that. And quite a few people are running around squawking as if they just had their head chopped off, and other people are so laid back that they're almost comatose, and all the kind of things that you get with change. It's interesting, when I had a proper job, which was a long, long, long time ago, and I worked in IT, back in the day then, we just started to introduce the concept of change management in IT, which was, you know, from a software and an operational point of view. And it was interesting trying to get people to focus on the change management process there, where the process that we went through with anything we were going to change was that you try to assess the impact, yeah? if we don't do this change, what's the impact on the business? How critical is it as a business need? But if we do it and it goes Pete Tong, what's the impact of that? You know, so you've got to do this whole impact analysis. And the third element of it is, what if it's so it's important, we've decided to do it, what if it does go wrong, what's the plan B, how do we get out of this? And there's a classic example of about, I think it was about 18 months ago, or maybe not quite that long ago, where a very well-known Scottish bank, obvious, completely lost their entire data center operation for a few days. And in my humble opinion, that was down entirely to incredibly poor change management procedures, because there's a product called CA Batch, CA7, which all the banks use for batch processing. It's years old. It's an IBM product. Well, it's not an IBM product. That's nonsense. It's a software product that runs on IBM mainframes. It's been around for donkey's years. It's a standard product in the banking industry, and they were doing a software upgrade to it. It is really not a big deal change, but they really, really did cock it up big time, because they didn't go through the right change procedures, and it caused untold damage.
Right, I'd never heard of that particular one, but the way that I approach it at Chameleogenics, I developed a methodology, and if you just go on Google and Google change management books, you will find hundreds, absolutely hundreds.
You will. Yeah.
So for every opinion, there's a counter opinion, etc., etc. So I decided, okay, I'm going to have a look at the way that we're going to approach it. So I blend five things together, and I use lean and systems thinking tools and techniques. Yep. So they are techniques and principles. I use best practice project management. So anything that I take on should be timescaled and have a start and a finish. I use the change management theories, as we've just been discussing. I use principles from Six Sigma, which is using data effectively. What I like to do is actually, yes, we can have a gut feeling that this is the right way to go forward, but let's look at some good solid data. And I don't mean just pulling numbers out of systems. You can actually just sit with people. That's good data, actually understanding and listening. Yeah. And then the fifth element, which I think is the one that is probably neglected the most, which is leadership, team building and facilitation. Yeah. So building your team, bringing your people along. And when I say your team, it could be you and your business partner, or it could be thousands. And I try and wrap all this together in one process that I can step change it along and work with companies.
That's really cool. The kind of changes that you're looking at, presumably, are mostly in the corporate world and corporate changes. I mean, give us a feel, Chris, for the kind of projects that you've kind of worked on, or you've looked at, or you've used as a template for some of these things.
Yeah, okay. One of my recent one, I've actually been fortunate enough. The beauty of this job is that I get to work with a variety of people.
Yeah.
So I'm actually working in, I can't name the provider at present for reasons that are apparent, but I'm working with adult social care.
Right.
Now, it's anyone who looks at the news and understands that with CQC, Care Quality Commission, and all of the different things with the Care Act that have happened in the past 2 years, adult social care is under a lot of challenge. Local government have issues trying to reduce costs. Now, just using the slash and burn technique of taking the hatchet and cutting social workers ain't working. It's true, and I'm not going to get into politics or anything but there's got to be a better way of doing things, and this particular organization I'm working with have said, hey Chris, we have this, we need to deliver more of the good stuff that what we did delivering care to people. Can you help us be more efficient? And that's what I'm working with. And another company, I can't name names, but it's a legal firm, and they've asked me to look at some very some particular things about their processes about paperless working. So moving from lots of hard copy files going into a paperless environment.
Yeah.
And it's not just a case of throwing a piece of new software in for a document management system, but understanding the end-to-end process. So that's a flavour from law firms to adult social care.
Absolutely, and that, quite a broad range of things. But as you say, you know, the change process has the same elements no matter what you're doing, really, you know, because it's a template, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's how do we manage change?
And at the centre are people.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But it is interesting. In general, we human beings don't like change. And you know, it's really unusual, and we don't like change. And given the option, we normally don't opt for change, which is why I think recently the referendum has come as such a shock, because people didn't expect it to happen, because people don't normally opt for change. They just don't, because it's too scary. Mm. Although change is necessary in order to progress and grow and move and adapt and do different things. You have to change, but we don't like it. Mm. And we don't like it at a personal level, and we don't like it at a corporate level, and we don't like it at a country level, but it happens. But the process of managing that is fairly similar all the way through, just a question of scale to some extent, Chris.
Yeah, and it is a matter of scale. To use some of the John Cotter principles of change management, I strongly believe that you need a sense of urgency. People need to know why change now, because if there isn't a good reason, why bother?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
If I asked us all in the studio here to change seats, the first question you'd ask me is why?
Yeah.
If I just said, I'm not telling you why, just do it.
Yeah.
Well, the chances are you'll just say no.
Yeah. Mind you, I wouldn't mind sitting on Zoe's seat. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And that's changed, hasn't it? Because years ago, managing people was very much about tell them what to do and they'll just do it.
Yeah.
But society's changed, so you can't do that now.
which is why, coming from a background in the military, it's really it's good, because I've been on both sides of the fence. Mm. Because in the military, you're told to do something, generally you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't say no.
No, although there is a lovely story in a book, and I can't remember, you may be able to remember who it was, somebody in the military who started managing a new ship, and he said do whatever, and they passed it all down the line, and then it sort of transpired that whatever he'd asked them to do wasn't possible on that particular ship, and nobody had actually told him it wasn't, because they're supposed to just do what they're told, so they'd all sort of carried on, and he changed the way he then managed as a result, the way he led as a result of that, because he realized that actually just getting people to do questioning it was an issue.
Maybe Chris has a far better insight to this than me, but I'm assuming even within the military some of that's because nowadays life is so technologically based that just telling someone to do something isn't the way to manage anything anymore. There's a lot more feedback and what do we need to do and how do we need to do it type stuff.
Well, there's an interesting part. And again, this is the analogy between air traffic control and business. Mm. In air traffic control, healthy challenge was actually encouraged.
Yeah.
And you need that confirm and challenge for safety.
Yeah.
If I saw you about to press that button incorrectly on the console and cut us off air, you're the head man in here at the moment. You could say, I know what I'm doing, and carry on. But in the aviation background, by fact that I have challenged you and said, I don't think you should do that, makes, okay, why? And and this confirm and challenge goes on. There are occasions, obviously, where it is a JDI situation. Mm-hmm. Just do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's there's a book. Another book full of all these books today called The Checklist Manifesto.
That's why you never go to networking. You're busy at home reading books, isn't it? That's what it is. We've discovered that now.
So the guy who wrote The Checklist Manifesto actually studied aviation, and he said that in hospitals they needed to implement those sorts of systems.
The WHO checklist, yeah.
Yeah, where people also could challenge, because if you had a checklist, that was the Bible sort of thing, and it came from aviation. So,
We haven't got long enough to talk about this, unfortunately, but a part of the work I do is about human factors and human factors analysis. And a lot of this stems from the unfortunate events that happened in Tenerife in 1977, where two 747s ended up going nose to nose. Still to this date, 9/11 excluded, the biggest fatality that was ever caused with aviation. But that was all to do with confirm and challenge and healthy challenge. Or there are other circumstances surrounding it as well, weather, and it's a fantastic report. I'd share it with you. I'll maybe share a report on the
absolutely
website.
It's an interesting and fascinating subject, and it's interesting that you've chosen to do this and to bring some of that expertise from one field into another, because that's really what we need, isn't it? You know, because one of the problems with things like this, if you work within the same industry all the time, you kind of get a higher level syndrome of what you just said. You know, I'm the top man. I'm pressing that button because I know how to press it, because I've always pressed it. Man and boy, for 30 years, I've been pressing that button. And you're going, no, but Paul, you don't understand. We just changed what's behind the button. You go, I'm not listening to you. I know what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, so coming at it with a perspective from outside, people have got to listen to you, not least of which because I have to explain some of their usual habits, if you see what I mean. And having worked as a consultant myself, I always found that useful, that to some extent you can go in and play a bit dumb and you can go, explain to me why you do this. And you can immediately find people that actually don't know why they've done it. They've always done it.
Yeah.
And I came across, in a completely different context, a fabulous story a while back. And I've told this a few times on different radio shows, but it's worth the telling again. It was a cookery show and they were cooking a shoulder of lamb.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Yeah. And the lady that was cooking it took the shoulder of lamb and she cut the end off and put it in a baking tray and put rosemary in it and all the rest of it. And she cooked a really lovely joint of lamb. And the interviewer said to her, oh, that's really interesting that you've got this technique of cutting the end off. It makes it really juicy and all the rest of it. Where did you learn that? And she said, well, my mother always cooked lamb like that. So I've just followed her instructions. And the mother was there and they said, oh, you know, how did you learn this technique of doing it? And she said, well, my mother taught it to me. And her mother was there, and they said, how did you learn it? And she said, learn what? And they said, cutting the end off the lamb. She said, oh, I did that because my baking tray was too small.
Absolutely. And actually, it's a really good point you make, because a lot of organisations, you ask people why they do that, and you said, because it's always done like
exactly.
that, or that's the way we do it around here.
Yeah.
Well, actually, if it's something that needs changing, let's make it the new way thing that we do things around here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So how do you, you've talked about your model, your template process, whatever, and you've talked about the sorts of organisations that you work with. How do you marry the two? So when you start working with an organisation, how do you take them through that process?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. What normally happens is that somebody will say to me something along the lines of, oh, I need you to come in and map my processes. And I'll say, why? And it really is about that consultative technique, and it's taking people right back to the beginning. I wish this was visual, because you'd see my hands showing the gestures of going back to the beginning. But it's really about the fundamental reasons of why they want the it's not the fact that you want new process maps. That could be the thing, but it's why. Mm-hmm. And I always use the, you remember the Monty Python Holy Grail, when the Michael Palin character is talking about the castle he built on the swamp, and it took him 3 attempts before he stood up.
Yeah.
Well, change initiatives are very much like that. Often people will say, right, we need a castle. And they will start building their castle and then wonder why 3/4 of the way through the thing falls into the swamp. Mm. And that's because they haven't built decent foundations.
Sure.
And it's about every single project. The first thing I'll do is speak to the people, whoever's asked it, collect it from stakeholders and understand that why question.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we need to do this? Because a person of integrity, there are times where I've said, this isn't right for you. You go away and think again, because
absolutely.
I could take your money and come here and give you 20 days consultancy, but you won't get what you need. I'm determined to get it right first time.
Cool. Chris, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're running out of time. If people want to find out more about Chameleogenics and Chris, how can they do that? What's your website?
My website is www.chameleogenics.co.uk, and the easiest thing really is to follow me on the Twitter, which is at Chameleogenics, and I am going to just spell it out on Chameleogenics, which is
Chameleogenics. I've got it written in front of me, so I was right.
It was that one of those blank moments. Do you know something?
It's cold, Chris, that's all. It's like being up the north face of the Eiger.
Yeah.
Dino, it's one thing, and I would say this to anyone who's thinking about setting up their own business, yeah? You may come up with a really great name, and you may love it, but by crikey, make sure people can spell it.
Or say it, in my case. But anyway, you can find it, because it's on the Kent Business Radio website on the front page, and it will be there for a while, so you can find it and click on that link. But for
the
moment...
That would have been the good answer, wouldn't it? It's on the Kent Business website.
No, but I just wanted to make you struggle in the way that you've made me struggle with it.
Thanks, you did it.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for a moment, Chris Hyde of Chameleogenics, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you know what it's time for now?
Don't know.
Joe's Gems.
Joe's Gems.
Joe's Gems. It's time for Joe's Gems.
You're going to sing for me?
Yeah, I'll sing a jingle for you.
So Joe's Gems has come from the fact that I do a podcast myself, and I interview people who work from home about their tools, tips and strategies for improving their productivity, organisation, well-being, energy and resilience, which is what power is in the power to live more.
That's easy for you to say.
It is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I run the podcast, and I separately add all the tips and tools and strategies into a membership site. And I thought what I would do with Joe's Gems on the Business Bunker is share the top tools that get recommended.
You're working well.
Every time.
You're working well. Sharing top tools is, you know, it's a top tool sharing moment.
Exactly. So I thought that I would start with the one that's been recommended most often, and that is Evernote. Have you ever used Evernote, anybody?
I haven't used it. I know of it, but I haven't used it.
Yeah. So it's quite often referred to as an external brain. So it's sort of a note-taking app, which completely undersells it. Which you can have on your computer and your phone and your tablet and so on, and it syncs across everything, and you can just store anything in it. So you can store links that you find on the web, you can put text in there, you can put images in there, you can put audio in there, and it can be used for a whole host of purposes. So I use it if I'm ever preparing anything, if I'm ever writing anything or needing to make a note of anything. So I'm currently reading off my Evernote, my notes that I made about Evernote.
Wow, I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
I write my newsletters on it, and I start my drafts of my blog posts. I keep all my recipes in it, so I can look on the iPad in the kitchen when I'm cooking, and I've got all the recipes on there.
You have told me about this in the past, Evernote, and I just thought you were overachieving, basically.
I'm always overachieving.
Yeah, I just thought, no, she's just trying to brag me that she's doing so much, and she's got it all organised, and it's all on this one platform that does everything.
Yeah, and I'm using it currently for keeping things. You know, like you have loads of bits of paper and cards and notes and letters and things around your house. Well, you probably don't. You're raising.
No,
your
I do
brows.
Actually.
Yeah,
no, I do. I do.
All that stuff.
I got sticky notes. I got so many sticky notes on my iMac. I can't see the screen.
Yeah. So, and also stuff like you know, nice letters and thank you notes and things like that you keep.
No,
you
now.
Don't. I knew you would. But I keep things like that. And then I think, well, I don't really want to keep them because they're just taking up loads of space. I want to declutter. Very in at the moment. So I've started scanning them and putting them into my Evernote. And you can tag and you can create notebooks. And it's very much like having paper notebooks that you would write in.
Right.
But online and always available. And the other time I find it really helpful is I never now... That's double negative, probably somewhere in there. Go to a meeting and have to write up the notes after the meeting.
No. You could stop halfway through that. You never now
go
to a meeting.
Yeah, good point. But yes, so if I go to meetings with potential clients, or I'm at the secretary of our Folks and Choral Society, I make notes straight into Evernote, and then I don't have to write them up when I get home. They're always there. I can search them, and I can find them again in the future, and they're just there.
Is it a free product?
It's a freemium, so there's lots that you can do for free, and then if you want to sign up for the premium, you can get some other... functionality, and so I've been a premium member for quite a long time because, as I say, I find it really useful. Now, the thing with Evernote is people struggle to think, how can I first use it? And I listened to a podcast a while ago where what they recommended was just thinking of two or three things that you can use it for to begin with, and just starting with that. And then as you get going, you'll start to sort of find it more useful for other things. So the recipes one might be a good one. It has a web clipper, so you can put it on your browser. And so when you're on the internet, if you find anything that you want to save, then you can just click on that and it automatically put it into your into your Evernote. And another option might be things like, for insurance purposes, take pictures of everything in your living room or whatever, and stick the pictures into Evernote so that if you ever have an issue where you need to claim on your insurance, you've got a picture of everything and it's all stored away. It's really like your online filing cabinet.
Okay.
And you can organise it in that way as well, with the functionality of the notes and the notebooks. And you can even, if you have a stack of notebooks, so you have all the information together, it's probably the notebook of notes, you can create a contents list automatically through the system.
A nested notebook.
Yes, well,
a nested
notebook. But I don't think that's where the functionality is, because I don't use it. But you can create a menu, but I think it has to be the notes within a notebook, because that would be why you'd want a content list. You wouldn't have lots of notebooks. You wouldn't have a content list for all your notebooks on your desk, but you would for pages in a notebook, wouldn't you?
Does it have a diary app with it?
No.
That's a shame.
Does it interface with a diary?
It interfaces with lots of things, so it may do. It depends on how would you want to use it to interface to a calendar.
I'm just thinking, if you're taking
notes... It has reminders. You can put reminders in there. You wouldn't be planning in your calendar.
So many times you're at a meeting, it's like, I'll take an action. I've got to have this done. Bang.
Yeah, and you can create checklists, and you can use it with things like Zapier and IFTTT, if this, then that, to automate things. So you could create potentially a checklist, and when it saw a checklist, it would then... send it off somewhere else. So, yeah, fantastic. Very good.
So, that's Joe's Gems for this week. I'll sing the jingle if we have one. Dun, 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 dun. There you go.
Joe's Gems.
I like it. Record that man. Record that man right now.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Chris. You can stay.
Yeah. Come again.
He's going to send us a bill for that now. So, thank you for that, Joe. What we're going to do now, we're going to have our mid-show break, and we're going to play some more tunage, and then we'll be back shortly after that. What do you reckon?
Sounds like a good plan.